Welcome to the Lynn Rivers Show. I'm Lynn Rivers. Wisconsin voters will soon go to the polls to weigh in on the continued tenure of their embattled governor, Scott Walker. Michigan Governor Rick Snyder was also the target of a recent recall effort. However, the Michigan recall never made it to the ballot. Supporters failed to collect enough signatures to put the question before the voters. Now, however, there is a new campaign to remove Snyder from office. I'll talk with Bruce Felk from the group Michigan Rising about this new effort and why he thinks organizers will be successful this time around. I'll also talk with news dissector Danny Schechter. What's a news dissector? We'll find out. My first guest today is Bruce Felk, the communications director of the group Michigan Rising. That group is launching a new effort to recall Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. Mr. Felk has been active in politics in Oakland County for several years, and in 2006, he conducted what he says was an individual effort to expose the record of then-Congressman Joe Nolenberg. In 2010, Felk started his own media outlet, The Rochester Citizen, covering local news in the Rochester and Rochester Hills area and focusing on political events. Bruce Felk, welcome to the Lynn Rivers Show.
Thanks, Lynn.
So who or what is Michigan Rising?
Well, Michigan Rising is a super PAC. And we are focused on the idea of recalling Governor Snyder. And we've been, I got involved. I was not involved in the first effort that took place last summer. But as I don't think you mentioned, and I should mention, is my daughter lives in Madison, Wisconsin.
Ah.
So I have seen the uprising that took place in Madison, Wisconsin. So I am convinced that with enough effort, with enough enthusiasm, that we can do the same thing that's taken place in Wisconsin. There's going to be that general election between Scott Walker and Tom Barrett on June 8th, and also four Senate races. If the Democrats win one more seat in the Senate in Wisconsin, they can take back the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Tom Barrett is a good guy. I served with him in Congress. I like him a lot. But let's go back to this idea that you're a super PAC, because that raises the issue of money. First off, where does Michigan Rising's money come from? I mean, who's donating at this point?
Sure. Right now, it is strictly small donations from individual donors. We have, we don't have any big unions donating to us. We don't have any help from the Democratic Party at this point. So it's strictly on the backs of individual citizens of the state of Michigan.
Well, super PACs are sort of in bad odor these days. I mean, there's this sense that people think that, they're sort of anti-democratic. How do you feel in this sort of democratic or populist effort? How do you feel about having one of these sort of undemocratic organizations?
Well, I guess I'm comfortable with it in that if we do get a large donor or several large donors, this is a big effort. I mean, we would like to be able to open field offices across the state, and that would take a pretty significant amount of money. Obviously, the Super PAC, you're right, has gotten kind of a bad name because this is kind of what's fueling these astronomical sums of money at the national level, especially for the presidential race, obviously, and they do have a little bit of a bad name. But right now, like I said, we're strictly taking small donations. All of our emails that have gone out, we've been asking people for, $14, $5, $10, and we're not getting, I was just looking at some of our financial reporting, and we don't have, any of these large donations that people might normally mm-hmm. associate with a super PAC.
Well, you mentioned Wisconsin, and Wisconsin, the recall efforts there have sort of become a flashpoint for national activity between conservative and liberal causes. There's lots of money coming into Wisconsin from outside of the state. Would you expect the same sort of thing to happen here in Michigan if you were successful in your petition drive?
I think if the conservatives of Snyder's team started to get wind of the fact that things were getting really serious and they're tracking our efforts and they see, a large number of signatures being collected and, start seeing large amounts of money being collected, I would imagine that we will start seeing the same kind of money flowing into Michigan as flowed into Wisconsin and is still flowing into Wisconsin.
I went to your website to take a look at who you are and what you're doing, and I don't mean this to be negative, but I don't see any big names there. In other words, I don't see the kind of people that would have a high profile that folks would say, "Oh, that person is involved." That tells me a lot about this organization. Do you have any sort of big name folks involved? Do you have sort of high profile folks that are going to help advance your cause?
Well, speaking a little bit to that point, we had a rally in Lansing last Saturday, and because of my connections in Wisconsin, we did have John Nichols fly in. We just to answer some people's questions, didn't pay him a speaking fee.
John Nichols being the
Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine.
Right.
And I'm sure some of your listeners have seen him numerous times on The Ed Show. He normally comes on talking about Wisconsin issues and the recalls.
And he does. He's in a number of documentaries as well.
And he just wrote a book called The Uprising, all about the uprising in Wisconsin. So as far as big names, as far as being involved with us on a permanent basis, no, we don't. I have to emphasize this again with you, Lynn. This is a completely grassroots effort. These are people that... mostly people that worked with us last time that are working on the second attempt. A lot of our volunteers came to us. I was not involved, like I said, in the first attempt. But as I understand it, lots of our volunteers came to us, and they're so upset about what's happening to the state of Michigan, they kind of implored us to take another shot at recalling the governor. Because if anything, and I think we'll probably talk about this more, in a lot of respects, things have gotten worse since last year as far as our democracy in Michigan.
Listeners, this is the Lynn Rivers Show right here on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm talking with Bruce Felk. He is the communications director for the group Michigan Rising, which is attempting to recall the governor. They're engaged in a petition drive right now. So I want to go back to this idea of this is a second effort. Why mount a second effort? I mean, historically, second efforts oftentimes don't do any better. Sometimes they do much worse than the first effort. What makes you think this time around you're going to be able to meet that magic number and get on the ballot?
Well, I think we can build on the first effort, first of all. We gathered almost 500,000 signatures last time. We only have spent about $40,000. So doing simple math, if we got twice the number of volunteers and twice the amount of money that we raised last time, we should be able to reach, the number that would be required to recall the governor. Not saying that it's a direct connection from one to the next. Secondly, they didn't have, they really didn't have a good, some good organizational tools in place last time. They didn't have a good media effort. That's kind of why I decided to come on board. And also, personally, I saw the effort. I was not involved, like I said, but I was impressed that they got as far as they did last time with very. And if we were to have more money, obviously, and more volunteers and a Wisconsin-style effort by the people, then I think we have a good shot at making it happen this time.
Now, under Michigan's Constitution, it takes many more signatures to put a recall of the governor on the ballot than it does for general statewide elections or general statewide initiatives or referenda. So how many signatures are you folks going to have to come up with to actually see this question go before the voters?
Well, the minimum, as I understand, is like 807,000. Mm-hmm. So obviously we're going to want somewhere around 1 million, because typically once it gets to the Secretary of State's office and they verify the signatures, you typically lose some. So we want to be prepared that we will have some of our signatures invalidated for whatever reason.
Right.
We do have a very complicated law in Michigan. And your listeners should probably be aware, too, that we have different rules in Michigan than they do in Wisconsin. And John Nichols actually pointed that out. And I urge your listeners to go to MichiganRising.org. We do have the video. We had about a 2.5-hour rally last Saturday, and if they want to see that. A lot of the speeches were very inspirational, I thought, including John Nichols and a woman named Sarah Lawrence. We had some awesome speakers there. But as far as the rules, as far as what has to happen in Michigan, whereas in Wisconsin, if they got the signatures, which they did, they go right to a primary and then a general special election. In Michigan, even if we do get the signatures that we need, there'll be a statewide referendum, and our goal is to get it on the ballot in November. So we have obviously our work cut out for us. And then if we get people in Michigan vote to recall the governor, then Lieutenant Governor Calley would be governor for the interim period until we have a special election, which is my understanding it'll take place in February of 2013.
Well, one of the things I noticed in doing research for this is the governor's disapproval rating has actually gone down over the last year. In August of 2011, 62% of Michigan voters saw him in a disapproving way. In February, that is only 47%. I mean, it looks as if people are less angry about him than they were a year ago when that first effort started. Are you concerned about that?
I'll be honest with you, I'm a little concerned about it. I think that we make a good case. If you look at our top, go to our website again and look at our top 10 reasons for recalling the governor, I mean, I think they're pretty compelling. And frankly, in my opinion, he came in, he said he was going to create jobs, and jobs are getting created in Michigan, but in my opinion, they're because of the things Governor Granholm put in place before he became governor, and a big part of it, obviously, is President Obama saving the auto industry. And I don't think I've seen, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Lynn, I haven't seen one bill come out of the Michigan legislature signed by Governor Snyder that has done anything to create one job in Michigan.
Now, there are critics who say that a recall should really be based on some sort of misconduct as opposed to simply a political conflict or differences in political ideologies, because that's why we have elections proper. Do you think that this is reflective of any sort of misconduct, or is this just a situation where certain people, certain labor organizations, certain environmental groups don't agree with the governor, and they're using this process essentially to have another election?
Well, actually, I did some research on that, Lynn, so I'm glad you asked that question. we looked it up, and actually, we have an impeachment process. If there is malfeasance, if there's a criminal activity, anything like that, that's what impeachment is for. But in reality, recall is specifically meant to be used for people that disagree on policy issues. And frankly, I've been to Benton Harbor. I've been to, I live near Pontiac. I've seen I am very upset. That's one of my personal issues on the destroying our democracy by using these emergency managers, or as one of our comedian at the rally referred to them as effems. But I think that our democracy is being completely destroyed by this governor. And I am surprised, frankly, that more people aren't upset. We did some research, too, one other writer that I know. And if you look at all of the communities that have been put under effems, they're now over 50% of the African-American population of Michigan is either under the consent agreement in Detroit or under emergency management.
Well, that raises a different issue that I wanted to ask you about. The emergency financial manager...
I just want to correct you real quick, Lynn. They're emergency managers because their powers go way beyond financial issues.
Right. We've had shows about it. But the point I was making is that the effort to put a referendum on that particular issue has been mounted, signatures have been turned in, and now there is a dispute about the font, essentially not about the number of signatures, not about the sentiments of the voters, but sort of this little procedural issue, which makes it look like maybe in Michigan these kinds of efforts have the deck stacked against them. Are you concerned that you're going to run into these sort of political obstacles and barricades?
Well, we may, but it's not going to be on the font size issue, I can guarantee you that. There's two different laws that cover the kind of petition drive that we're doing, which is a recall versus what they did, which is a referendum on an issue like that. So we will not run into the font size issue. And, Frank, that is such a travesty of justice. I'm sure most of your listeners are probably aware. If they're not, I'm going to tell them again. Jeff Timmer, who's on the board of canvassers, is part of the firm that filed the complaint based on the font size. He has a clear conflict of interest on that. And there's also precedence on the fact that font size not be used as a reason to disqualify a petition. And
well, there's a suggestion that ultimately this issue would not be a reason to reject the petitions, but the strategy is to delay the decision in court long enough to miss the filing deadline or to miss the inclusion on the November ballot.
Well, that could very well be. I mean, I guess I'm 58 years old, and I have never seen more dirty tricks, more cheating, more dishonesty, especially, I mean, I think it is focused in the Republican Party and the conservative movement. I mean, I've seen it in Wisconsin. I have followed Wisconsin politics probably as closely or maybe even a little bit more closely than Michigan politics, and the level to which these people will stoop is astounding. I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, so the whole idea of democracy and justice, in my view, have been pretty much thrown out the window. This is a no-holds-barred fight that we're in now, and I think it's really important that Democrats, liberals, progressives, whatever phrase, whatever terminology you want to put on it, need to be able to fight back. And I think the recall is part of fighting back.
Today we are talking about a new effort to recall Michigan Governor Rick Snyder. And my guest is Bruce Felk. He is the communications director for the group Michigan Rising. Bruce, we were talking about the petition drive, and you mentioned volunteers. Now,
right.
One of the things that some observers have said is that what doomed the first effort was that it was being done on a volunteer basis. And even though there were Michigan teachers everywhere last summer, they were just not able to get those signatures using volunteers. Are you going to use volunteers? Is it your hope to get paid circulators? How are you going to overcome that difficulty?
Sure. Well, we would hope to, like I said, I think previously, that we would like to put a field organization in place, a professional field organization. That's something, I mean, one of my reasons for getting involved, again, is my experience in Wisconsin. I actually was able to volunteer in Wisconsin. I was, because I had a three-month stay with my daughter, helping out with my grandkids, I was there long enough to actually qualify to not only get petition signatures, but sign the petition myself. So, and I saw their field operation. It was impressive. They had a professional field operation all over the state, and obviously that takes money. I mean, we're looking at, we need to raise probably in the area of at least $500,000 to start to have a statewide field organization. They did it completely with volunteers. So it can be done with volunteers. And if we can raise enough money, I have no qualms personally about putting paid circulators in the field. But I'd like to do it, if at all possible, with volunteers.
I have to follow up on what you just said. You were in Wisconsin long enough to be able to sign the... Did you have residency in Wisconsin?
No, but their only requirement is that you're qualified to vote, which is that you have to have spent 28 consecutive days there.
You don't have to be a registered voter there.
Right. You just have to be qualified to vote, which by being there for 3 months, I was qualified to vote in Wisconsin, even though I didn't decide to move there.
Right. But here in Michigan, the only people who will be eligible to sign these petitions are people who are registered voters in the state of Michigan, correct?
I believe that's true. I don't have a quote on me, but I'm not the election expert, but I believe you're right.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the fact that this is a second attempt. I mentioned that at the beginning. Have you done any research, looked at the history relative to sort of Mulligan's do-overs and their success rate?
I haven't. I mean, I realize it's certainly an uphill battle. I have no doubt about that. We have no illusions about how difficult this will be. Like I said, some of the people that worked on the first effort, you know, came to us. It's not like we were begging people to come and let's do this again. People that worked with us came to us and asked us to take a second shot. So we decided we would, and we're trying to, you know, we hopefully are learning from our mistakes and our lack of any lacks that we had. And frankly, we've had some pretty good success as far as media. You know, I'm talking to you today. You know, we did not have a good media effort last time, so we're hoping by doing shows like yours, I've done several, several other radio interviews. I'm going to be on. I don't know when your show airs, but on Friday, May. Tonight, I taped a session with Tim Skubick that'll be airing today and on Sunday, depending upon mm-hmm. where people are in the state. So we're making a big media effort. We hope that by educating people, letting people know we're doing this, that the volunteers will come out and we'll be able to have some success this time.
Now I know that you have a lot of material on your website, but give us sort of the quick and dirty on the basis for this recall.
Well, I mean, obviously, for me personally, I mean, it's not our top 10. It's not our top reason. But for me, the emergency manager is extremely important. I feel like that is an unconstitutional way to handle our problems. So So if, you know, if people go to our website, you'll see the top 10. I'll just kind of maybe go through some of them. Our top one anyway, is the one we now have a surplus in the budget, and we've taken money away from our K-12 educational system. To me, if we don't have a good educational system, we have no chance at all in being able to be one of the top states in the country as far as our future, as far as our jobs go. And we are bringing down the unemployment rate in Michigan slightly, and I think that's a big part of it is because of the fact that President Obama, bravely I think, decided to step in and save the auto industry. So the surplus, we want to create jobs. Like I said before, we haven't had one piece of legislation come to the governor's desk that's created even one job. Workers' compensation, people probably may, unless peer readers follow politics really closely in Michigan, this is a change they may not be aware of, that workers can be denied benefits if there's a potential job that they could have. They've had their benefits cut, or they may have lost their benefits. And a lot of this is affecting the children in the state of Michigan.
Which raises an issue. Let me interrupt you here for a minute. One of the requirements for approval of the language for petitions here in Michigan for ballot questions is that it must be clear. Clarity is a requirement. It must be clear to the voter. And I know there's a certain amount of controversy because the language has the term child abuse, that the governor has abused the children in Michigan. Do you think that's hyperbolic? Do you think that that's that criticism is maybe well founded?
Personally, I don't believe so. I mean, when you cut off, we're the only state in the union, I believe, we've cut 6 weeks off of state unemployment benefits. We've cut people off general assistance. Those are changes. I mean, to me, if you make it harder for children to get nutrition, to get food, because their parents have been cut off of either general assistance or their unemployment has been cut. These are really tough times. And, what has been proven, and I think you'll agree, Lynn, is that these austerity measures have not worked, not whether it's in the United States, whether it's in the state of Michigan or any other state or anywhere overseas. The austerity measures that they're putting in place, the Republicans, the conservatives, that are trying to solve our economic problems through austerity, it has not worked. It hasn't worked historically, and I can't believe it's going to work this time when it hasn't worked any other time in history.
You are listening to the Lynn Rivers Show here on 89.1 WEMU, and my guest today is Bruce Felk. He is the communications director for the group Michigan Rising, which is attempting a second run at Governor Snyder for recall. In terms of the public view of this effort, there certainly has been some attempt to sort of characterize the previous recall issue or effort, and I think this one too, as that these are really disgruntled public unions who are essentially fighting to keep what critics would say are high wages and benefits beyond what everyday people in Michigan get. Speak to that. Is this, in fact, a public employee effort here?
Not by my view. I haven't, frankly, met one public employee. I'm sure there have been public employees at our rallies. I'm sure we have public employees that are involved with the recall, probably as volunteers. I mean, it is not driven by that, though. And, as far as your point about public employees, there is a study that's been done. I can't remember how old it is, but I think it's relatively recent, that shows that that's not true, especially when you correct for education.
Mm-hmm, I've seen that.
Public
yes.
employees are not being paid more than the private sector.
Right, but what I'm asking you about is the perception, and certainly the other side I think is gonna sort of fan those flames. What is your plan to sort of broaden this to get to the public? This idea that this affects all of us. It's just not a fight between public employee unions and the governor. It has a broader implication.
Well, I would urge your listeners to go to our website, michiganrising.org, look at the top 10 reasons. I think it's under the impact tab. Read the top 10 reasons. I don't see one here. I'm looking through the list right now on my computer. And if you look at the reasons why we want to recall Governor Snyder, I don't see one here that has to do with public employees or their pay or their benefits or anything involving that.
Well, let me ask you, on your website, you talk about this being a nonpartisan effort. Is it bipartisan? In other words, are there people who would self-identify as Republicans who are part of this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think some Republicans are just as upset about some of the things that Governor Snyder is doing. I mean, one thing that, you know, this is a partisan issue, but to me, it's completely wrong. What happened with the redistricting? I live in Oakland County. The fact that for decades, you know, the Republicans controlled the county commission in Oakland County. There was a committee that was always set up to do the redistricting. This time, the Democrats happened to have the majority. I'm sure you know the story. And then when the Democrats
I know it intimately.
Yes. And that's a travesty of our system. It's unbelievable.
Let me ask you a little bit about Snyder. You talked about the Wisconsin effort. Mm-hmm. Rick Snyder has repeatedly sort of drawn a distinction between him and his governance here in Michigan and Scott Walker. And one of the things he has said over and over is that he has not been aggressively anti-union, anti-public employee negotiations. He's not been anti-public employee. Do you believe that that's true?
Well, the short answer is no. The longer answer is he's doing it in a different way. Obviously, Scott Walker went directly at the public employees, you know, almost the first thing out of the box, obviously caused a big uproar. But I think Snyder, you know, I think the reason why you might have seen his polls tick up a little bit and people aren't as angry as they are in Wisconsin is Snyder, you know, he's not as much of an in-your-face politician. I'm sure he probably saw today there's video of Scott Walker talking with one of his donors that gave him $500,000, you know, saying we're going to divide and conquer. So Snyder hasn't been that kind of politician, I'll give you that. But I think the way he's going after the unions, public unions, is he's using the EFMs to, you know, that one of the powers they have is to get rid of the contracts. That happened in Detroit. Through the consent agreement, they have the committee that's been formed has the power to renegotiate those contracts, even though they had just been settled recently. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going after the unions through the emergency managers and through the consent agreement in Detroit.
Have you folks started collecting signatures, or if not, when will you start? When will your campaign kick off?
We started on Saturday at the rally,
mm-hmm.
and we are now sending out, we're looking for volunteers. We're especially looking for county coordinators. We still need some of those. But we have been sending out petitions. We've been getting reports back of people, you know, getting their signatures, asking for more petitions to be sent out to them. So we don't have any numbers yet, but it sounds like it's going reasonably well in the field.
And if you're comfortable, how much money have you raised?
You know, I guess I truthfully.